tonight I want to tell you a story. It's a true story because it's recorded in the Word of God. Story of two sisters and a brother lived together in the city of Bethany. The sisters were named Martha and Mary. The brother was named Lazarus. It seems from the Bible that none of them had married. It doesn't say one way or the other in the Bible, but as we read different parts of the scripture of Jesus' interaction with them, no mention is made of a husband for Mary or Martha or a wife for Lazarus. But what is mentioned is that they were friends of Jesus, very, very close friends of Christ. We read where he visited in their home more than once. I sort of think he had a standing invitation. And any time that he was in Bethany, he took advantage of that invitation and would go and visit with them. It's apparent from what we read in the Word of God that Mary and Martha and Lazarus loved Christ. It was Mary that one time that took precious ointment, precious perfume, and anointed Jesus' feet and then wiped his feet with her hair. And it's not left, so I think they all three loved him. And it's not left to our assumption to know that Jesus loved them, because it says in verse 5 of John chapter 11, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. One day Lazarus got sick. His sisters didn't worry at first. I mean, sickness came, sickness went. And so they thought this would be a sickness that would pass as well. But it didn't. He got worse and worse. I'm sure they called the doctor, and the doctor came and did what doctors did back in those days. But he didn't get better. His condition continued to worsen. And so Mary and Martha got together and decided they needed to let Jesus know. They loved each other, and so they thought that, that he should know because he loved Lazarus. They also knew what Jesus could do. And I don't know if they just heard or if they actually saw. I would guess both. They not only heard, but they saw with their own eyes that Jesus was able to heal the sick. He made the lame to walk, the blind to see, and the deaf to hear. He was able to cast devils out of people that were demon-possessed. He could feed thousands with just with little lunches. And he could calm storms. And so these sisters knew what Jesus could do and that he loved Lazarus. So they sent word to him, and they said, it says in verse 1 3 of that chapter, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. They didn't ask him to come. They just sent word to him that Lazarus was sick. And even though they didn't ask, I think they had the expectation that when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, that he would come immediately. He loved Lazarus, and when you love somebody and you hear they're sick, you want to be around them, especially if you have the power that Christ did to heal the sick. And so when they sent word, hey, he who you lovest is sick, there, I think it was their expectation, and it would be a natural expectation. It wouldn't be a way out expectation. It would be an expectation that I think we all would have, that Jesus would come and he would touch Lazarus. He would command the sickness to leave. He would make him better. And both Mary and Martha, as I'll tell you a little bit when we get further in the story, they believed that Jesus could make him better. They believed that Jesus could heal him. Well, when Jesus got word that Lazarus was sick, the Bible says in verse 6, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And after those 2 days, he said to his disciples, let's go to Judea. And his disciples said, well, Master, are you sure you want to go? Last time we were there, they wanted to stone you. And Jesus said, no, we got to go. I got to do the work that God sent me to do. And he said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Now, the disciples had been there. They'd heard when the message came from Mary and Martha that Lazarus was sick. And so they said, well, if he's sleeping, he must be feeling better. If he's able to get rest, he must be doing better. And the Bible says that Jesus said plainly, no, Lazarus is dead. Let's go to him. Let's go to him. And I like what old Thomas said. Well, if Jesus is going to go, let's go with him. If he's going to die, we're going to die with him. Sort of same thing that Peter said, and yet Thomas was one just like Peter and the rest of the disciples, that when the pressure came, when he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, they all fled and left. I mean, here he was saying, oh, we're ready to die with you, but when the time came, they left. So they got to Bethany, and the Bible says by the time they got there, Lazarus has been in the grave for 4 days. They didn't embalm people back in those days. Most of the time, they were buried the same day that they died. And 4 days was important to the Jews for a couple of reasons. They believed that the spirit of man stayed close to the body for 3 days. But after 3 days, it departed. It left. So I guess if you were going to be resurrected, it could be possible in the first 3 days because the spirit was still close. But if day four had come, the spirit's already gone. And in 4 days, the decay starts to set in, and so the body starts to rot. And at 4 days, that had already started. So the sisters heard that Jesus was coming, and Martha went first to meet him, and she said this to Jesus. She said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. If you'd just been here, if you'd just come when we called you, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And there were some other things that were said that I don't have time. You can go back and read chapter 11. Most of you probably know the exchange that happened between Jesus and Martha. Martha made the same confession that Peter did when Jesus asked him, well, who do you think I am? Peter said, thou art a Christ. Martha said the same thing. But Mary then came out and said the same thing. Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, well, take me to the grave. Take me to where you've laid him. And they took him to the graveyard. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Now, Martha said, the Bible says she protested, don't take away the stone. He's been dead for 4 days. He already stinks. And Jesus said, Martha, if you believe, I told you, if you believe, you're going to see the glory of God. You're going to see God work. You're going to see God do something that only God could do. So they took away the stone. Jesus prayed, and in a loud voice said, Lazarus, come forth. And he had to be personal. He had to call him by name, or he would have cleaned out the whole cemetery. I mean, he had that power. He had to mention Lazarus' name. And the Bible says that Lazarus came forth, bound head and foot with grave clothes, and Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Story ends, as far as what's recorded in the Bible. Crowds left. A lot of people had come to console Mary and Martha. A lot of people, their friends and their family had come. They left. Jesus and the disciples left. Mary and Martha and Lazarus went home. I wonder what changed. I wonder what was different in their household. Here were two sisters that lost their brother for 4 days. And you know the saying that people say, you don't really know what you have until you lose it or think you're going to lose it, is actually true. You don't really appreciate what you have until you lose it or you think you're about to lose it. And these sisters had actually lost their brother, they thought forever, as far as this earthly life is concerned, but they got a second chance. Jesus came, he worked a miracle, and you can go through the Bible, and I didn't. You could probably count on your fingers, and I'm sure on your fingers and your toes, the people in the Bible that got a second chance. And what I mean by that is had a family member or a friend resurrected from the dead. Jesus called three back from the dead. Peter did one. Paul did one about the boy that fell out of the window. There were several instances in the Old Testament, but only a handful of people got a second chance after they thought they'd lost somebody. And so tonight I preach a message entitled, A Sister Second Chance, asking the question, when the crowds left, when Jesus and the disciples left, and when Mary and Martha and Lazarus went home, what changed? What was different? I want to mention three things tonight. Number one, they worked with all of their might to have a good relationship. Last night, Brian spoke from Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. He told us that when he thought about that verse, he thought about something, doing something physical, a project or a job. But then he took the verse and applied it to our relationships and said we ought to have the same attitude and follow the instruction in that verse in the relationships that we have with our spouses, with our children, with each other, with our church, and with our God. And in our relationships, we need to work at them with all of our might to make sure they work. Now, many of us, most of the time, take our relationships for granted. Not in a mean way. Not in an intentional way, but as Brian mentioned last night, we get so busy with things that we do in life that most of the time our relationships take a back seat. We nurture them now and then, but most of the time they're there. We know they're there, but we don't work at them. And I'm sure that Mary and Martha and Lazarus were no different. They saw each other every day. They interacted every day. And like most of us, I'm sure there were things that they fussed about. And I was thinking, you know, most things we fuss about don't amount to hill beans. I mean, they're not important issues. We just fuss. They weren't as kind to each other as they could have been. They weren't as sensitive, as we heard about Brian last night, as they could have been. They weren't as loving as they could have been. Here's what they thought. Hey, we're going to have each other for a long time. There'll always be time to love on each other. There'll always be time to resolve any differences that keep us apart. There'll always be time to tell each other how we feel about each other. That's what Mary and Martha thought, till Lazarus got sick and died. And then the sisters realized and they thought about all the words that were left unsaid, all the acts of kindness that were left undone, all the differences that might have existed between them that were unresolved. And they wish, as many people do today, as they stand beside caskets and go to funerals, they wish they could go back and do it over. Jesus came. He worked a miracle. These sisters got a second chance. And I think Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, meant a whole lot more to them the second time around than it did the first time. And let me read you the whole verse. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whether thou goest. And I would just remind all of us tonight, we do not have forever. If we're going to work at our relationships with all our might, we need to do it now. The vast majority or all of us will get no second chance. And if you're going to work with your might in your relationship, the relationship with your husband or your wife, with your children or your grandchildren, or with each other, or with your church, or with your God, you've got to do it now. And I would just add my voice to what Brian said last night. It is worth doing with all your might. Like Judy gave the tip. She said, and I appreciate it. I was standing out in the hallway. I wasn't in the room, but I was standing out in the hallway listening. She said, marriage is not a 50-50 thing. It's not a 50-50 thing. It's a 90-95% thing. We're 99, 95, 95, 99%. is required on the part of each other. And again, if we're going to work at our relationships, we need to do it with all our might, and then we need to do it today. Which leads me to the second difference I think existed in that home, was that they made every day count. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I think the sister's attitude after Jesus worked that miracle and brought Lazarus back from the dead was, this is the day that the Lord's given us. This is the day that the Lord's made. I'm not promised tomorrow. I'm not promised next week. Anything that I need to do, I need to do it today. I think they did. I think they told Lazarus they loved him. Every day. Every day. We were going home last night, and there was only a few of us left. And saying goodnight to each other. And I can't remember who it was that says, sleep tight, hope the bed bugs don't bite. And I was thinking as I was driving home, you know, it reminded me of the Waltons. Remember the Waltons? The end of every show, they would just lay in bed and they'd say, good night, Pa. Good night, Ma. Night, John Boy. Night, Mary Ellen. I can't remember them all. Good night, Ben. Elizabeth. You know, right down the line, just saying good night. What they were saying is, love ya. Love ya. Love ya. I think they showed Lazarus they loved him every day. If he had a favorite candy bar, they bought him a favorite candy bar. If he had a special dessert, they made him a special dessert. If he had a favorite meal, they made him that favorite meal. They showed him that they loved him. I think if they had any resolved differences, they got them fixed. You know, many people, husbands and wives, children and parents, grandparents, grandchildren, they love each other. But they might have an unresolved difference that keeps them from getting as close as they could be or as that God wants them to be. It's something that perhaps they don't like to talk about, something they maybe unconsciously agreed and said, hey, we're not going to talk about this. And it keeps them from being as close as they could be, as God wants them to be. And I think if Mary and Martha and Lazarus have any of those unresolved differences, when they got their second chance, they sat down with each other and they got it on the table and they resolved it. They got it fixed so they could be as close as God wanted them to be with nothing in between. And I think they did things together. They did things together. Took a walk. Went up on the rooftop and looked at the stars. They did not put things off. They did not leave things unsaid. They did not leave acts of kindness undone. They made every day count. Again, I'll remind you, the vast majority of us, probably all of us, are not going to get a second chance. If there's things you need to say them today. If there's things you need to do them today. If there's people you need to tell that you love them, you need to tell them today. If there's people that you need to show your love to them, you need to show them today. If there's unresolved differences, and again, these are things that we unconsciously agree to disagree. We unconsciously agree not to resolve them. And they keep us apart. Maybe not very apart, but they keep us from being as close as God wants us to be. Get them resolved. Get them out on the table. Talk about them. If you can't do it on your own, get some help doing it. Ask mom, ask dad, ask your preacher. Get them resolved. Get as close as God wants you to be. Don't wait. Don't say, hey, well, one day we'll take care of that. One day we'll fix that up. You only got today. Today's the day that the Lord has made. I like what Brother Duane said last night. I couldn't hear it because he was speaking so low, but I think I know what he said. He said, if you're going to tell somebody you love them, you better tell them today because you don't know how much time you got. You don't know how much time you got. And then number three. Here's a change I think was made in that household. Number three, they thanked God every day for their brother. Every day. I think when Mary and Martha got up in the morning, they thought, man, I get to spend another day with Lazarus. I didn't think I was going to have it. But I got a second chance, and I get to spend another day with my brother. I think at some point during the day, they said, boy, we've had a good morning, or we've had a good afternoon. I didn't ever think I'd get to do with this with my brother again. Lord, thank you for giving me my brother back so that we can enjoy another day together. I think when they went to bed at night, they said, Lord, it's been a good day. I got to spend time with my brother. Didn't think I was ever going to get to do that again. And I know the only reason that I can do it is because of you. Thank you, Lord. Do you do that? I ask myself, am I doing it? I don't want anybody to answer out loud, but I just want you to answer in your heart. Did you get up this morning? You say, Lord, I get to spend another day with my husband. Get to spend another day with my wife. Have another day with my kids. Another day with my grandkids. Another day with my parents. Another day with my grandpa and my grandma. I know I wouldn't get today unless it was from you. Thank you. Thank you. Did you stop sometime today, in the middle of the day, before you came to church, after lunch? Did you say, Lord, you've been so good to me? You gave me another day with the people that I love. You gave me another day to enjoy their company. You gave us another day to spend together. And will you tonight, after hearing a message like this, we go home, just go to bed, not realize the wonderful gift that God has given you and the wonderful gift that God has given me, and just go to bed and take for granted the people that God has put in our life to love and to love us. Mary and Martha got a second chance. Most of us, all of us, will not. If we're going to work on our relationships with all our might, if we're going to make every day count, if we're going to thank God for the people that we love and that love us, that He's put in our life, we need to do it now. We need to do it today. And so my plea to you tonight is, do it. Do it. Let's not take each other for granted. Time passes so quickly. I'm learning that as a grandpa. Time passes so quickly. And what God has given us, we need to love and thank Him today, not tomorrow, not the next day. And please don't take the attitude that oftentimes we do, well, we got plenty of time. I'll do that next week, or I'll do that next month, or I'll do that next year. Do it today. And by the way, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to take the same attitude. It's not a decision that you need to put off till tomorrow. It's not a decision that you need to put off till next week. The Bible says today is a day of salvation. And if you're here tonight, you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're a sinner. The wages of sin is spiritual death, separation from God. But when Jesus went to the cross, He paid the price. He purchased, paid what we owed. And if we'll ask Him, He'll save us. And again, You don't have all the time in the world to do that. You got today. You need to do it today. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for this reminder. Thank you that we've gotten it twice in the past 24 hours. Must be important. And so I pray tonight, Father, that Holy Spirit would convict us of what we need to do and that we do it. I pray, Father, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ, tonight would be the night they admit their sin, admit their need for a Savior, and come to the only one, Jesus. Bless this time of invitation. Again, Holy Spirit, speak to us. Help us be obedient. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.